Hello, everybody. This is Russell Canning, and I'm on the line with Dave Ridley today.
AKA Dave Ridley from NHExit.com and RidleyReport.com.
And I was told by one of my friends, who's an NHExiter, that I had not put out my whole name on any of these podcasts, so he was kind of afraid that I w didn't want to reveal who I was. So I'm trying to make sure I tell
Yeah,
everybody it's Russell Canning.
that's someone who doesn't know you.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think one thing we should reveal that might not be obvious to listeners is that NH Exit is a secessionist movement. We want to exit the union. That's what it stands for.
Yes, and we might not have mentioned that. So we had our NH Exit speech slash discussion at the Swell in Rollinsford, New Hampshire. That's a Seacoast welcome group. And that went really well. I was expecting more people, but then I was expecting people that might not be familiar with secession. So we were kind of doing an introduction to it. This was Dennis Pratt's idea, and he's going to come on and record one of these podcasts where we break down what happened and the ideas that people came up with. But what was interesting is we had about 20 people there, and almost all of them were there because we were talking NH Exit.
Good.
So we were they weren't. They were ready for more than an introduction. So
Yeah.
we actually covered more territory. And a couple of people were a little disappointed we didn't bring our swords and guns and plan our first. It's like a guy walks in and goes, "Okay, so Russell, what? No dumping tea today? Okay, I'm a little disappointed."
Well, it's funny if you think about it, how the world, secession around the Western world, over the last 100 years has become, a pretty peaceable thing, done through the system, almost boring. You look at the Czechoslovak dissolution and Brexit and Scotland's independence movement and all that stuff. It's just kind of, it's not real exciting. And there's a path to independence, and people never really take it in most cases. But the U.S., that's what was going on with slavery, 150 years ago, is everybody was just kind of getting rid of it, and it was kind of boring. People got free, and it wasn't in the news because there wasn't much killing. But the Americans had to do it with this, with a 600,000 body count war, right? So maybe that's how Americans are going to do independence for the states. Maybe they're gonna do that with a 600,000 body count war, just like they did the last time. But the
Yeah.
trend around the world is not like that, and there's no reason that independence has to be a bloody thing.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things we discussed because, yeah, it doesn't have to be, when you look back at the last few countries that have split, even in the last, 100 years, yeah, it's not like this was inevitable that we had to be willing to fight. So that was kind of interesting. And I had a couple people there that had not really thought of secession the way we were talking about it. So it was kind of a relief, I think, for a couple of the ladies that were there to realize, oh, you could do this for good reasons and not just because you like Confederate flags or something,
Yeah, I mean, that was supposed to be what the Brexit taught us, right? Is that the Confederate issue is kind of put to bed now, and secession is now about something else. Brexit is supposed to have sucked all the air out of the room. People talk about that a lot more than they talk about the old US Civil War. But yeah, some people still haven't gotten it yet. They haven't gotten the memo that independence movements are generally peaceful in the Western world.
Well, wouldn't you say also that still the mainstream media, that's the way they act like, if you talk this way, you're talking war instead of possible other stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes the central government decides that's how they want to react. But each of us is responsible for our own actions, and none of us is responsible for the actions of our enemies.
Yeah, we can't guarantee that. So I think since the last time we recorded, some level of Brexit actually happened. Do you know
Yeah.
about this?
I haven't been following it.
Yes, I one of the ways I follow it is one of my investment podcasts I listen to is a couple of British guys, and they're big Brexiters. So they're kind of the way I keep track of what they're up to. You know, they've been very disappointed in how long this has taken and all that kind of stuff. So some level of it actually happened.
Yep.
And then I was thinking, oh, that's kind of a bummer because it sounds like nothing happened. But I was reading an article, and so I learned at least it meant something. What the article was that British automakers are now allowed to order parts outside the EU.
Oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity.
So that means, so before that, they were stuck inside the EU. They couldn't buy like chips from Taiwan or parts from South Korea or, you know, parts from China. So I guess they're allowed to do that. So they were excited. So I guess
Well,
something happened.
I wonder if they've removed the 20 different regulations on alarm clocks.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is we're going to have to hear about the details. I was just excited that that means something happened, some
Yeah.
level, a little bit of something.
And
Yeah,
by
I
the way,
wonder.
I'm not sure it's exactly 20, but there are a lot of regulations on alarm clocks that are just at the EU level. And
So,
that's what they lose when they leave the EU is there's no those regulations all go away. But then
I
you have
know.
to imagine that there's such regulations on everything they buy, you know?
So, did you ever watch the promo video that the Brexit people did at the beginning?
I saw a documentary. It was a pro-Brexit documentary. Where's that? Where that guy's driving around Brussels and he stops a taxi and he says, "Can you take me to the EU, please?"
That I'm thinking just a small, there's a small promo thing they did.
Oh.
And what it was it showing the virtues of British people and the vices of Southern Europeans. It's very comical. It's got like sweaty, butt-pinching Italian men living off of you, hardworking
Oh my gosh. That's going to trigger somebody.
Oh, it was hilarious. It's like, you know, 2 minutes long. It's like a commercial, you know what I mean? So we need to have our own one. I'm gonna have to find it and send it to you. There's one, we need to make one with New Hampshire, with the worst bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. You know, maybe the EPA with its sewage in the hallways, remember that? And
Yeah.
then
Well,
we'll say, go
are
through it.
that river they turned bright orange in Colorado?
Colorado, yes. And then, you know, so that's the feds. And then we'll have to show, you know, children playing in a park in New Hampshire
Yeah.
and, you know, mountain people climbing the mountain and looking at leaves or whatever and have the, but yeah, you have to see that one. It's, you know, it's a sweaty, overweight Italian guy in a sleeveless t-shirt, you know, living off of your tax dollars, you know, and they're going, we gotta get out. Plus all those other
Man.
ones, like you're saying, the documentaries where they try to get to the heart of where these regulations come from, who decided this,
Who do
why
I
do I have to go?
even talk to? Well, you got to make an appointment, you got to fill out a form in triplicate, and then maybe we'll talk.
And then you find out you're not even in the right country. Oh, you need to go over this place, and then they find, oh man, the endless bureaucracy they had that they were.
Having said that though, I prefer if I have a choice, like with cryptocurrencies, if I could, I would like they have these things called stable coins that are pegged to the US dollar. They're backed by the dollar, basically. I would prefer to use stable coins that are backed by the Swiss franc, or that are backed by the EU, preferably, because even the EU, as bureaucratic as it is, it actually isn't not that violent, right? You know, it doesn't actually invade other countries. You know, the euro is a currency that has less blood on it than the dollar does.
And the thing, and it also helps people in their mind disassociate money and the Federal Reserve, right? That you can have money that didn't come from them, right? Anything
Right.
would help, you know, even if you're backing it with any random other thing,
Yeah.
helps. I think just it's just a psychological thing, right? Because you just get used to it.
Right.
So that's the stuff that I can think of that's happened. So what do you and then Dennis Pratt and I will cover what happened in that meeting, and I'm going to have a couple other, and it went really well. I had Caleb there, Caleb Dyer, and he
Good.
did some of the legal issues. So we kind of covered the morality of it, the legality of it, and the practicality, you know, because people have problems. They think all of those areas are impossible, and then we were talking about how they're all possible and that sort of stuff. So it went really well.
Yeah,
We had lots of
and
fun.
with the Brexit thing, that might be how it would play out here. I mean, if things do not degenerate too much in the United States, it might play out, you know, kind of like the Brexit, where it's slow and aggravating, right? But it's like Churchill said, it's better to jaw, jaw, jaw than war, war, war. So the way Britain is getting its independence from the EU is a lot nicer than the way, you know, the Netherlands got their independence from Spain, or the way that Slovenia got its independence from Yugoslavia. And
Well,
even
yeah.
this still, yeah, I'm sorry.
Plus, people can get used to the idea, right? Because some people have trouble wrapping their heads around it. And if there's little teeny parts of it that were happening, you
Yeah.
get used to it. You know, oh, okay, I can see that. So what do you make of the insanity that's happened in pop culture and on the news lately?
You mean surrounding the raid on the Capitol?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I was just watching a video of Chuck Schumer talking about how it's a day that will live in infamy and comparing it to Pearl Harbor. So.
Well, you know, I've downloaded the Free Talk Live episodes about that. That's how I get most of my news, is through Free Talk Live. Because they tend to be, they're good about not, they're not conspiracists, but they also don't buy the party line. And they have a good track record of getting their facts straight. So Free Talk Live, despite being a commentary show, actually does a really good job of you know, just being a good source of accurate information. They're like the libertarian talk show in New Hampshire, right? So anyway, I downloaded those, and I still haven't bothered to listen to the episodes or even figure out what happened. I haven't paid much attention. You know me, I don't pay much attention to imperial politics. I'll leave that to everybody else in the known universe who thinks that nothing else is going on, right?
Yeah, because
So
that's the
I don't
thing.
have a strong opinion about. I don't know what the body count was. I don't know exactly what happened or who started it or why or what. I don't even know what Trump said exactly. So I'm probably not the guy to get a strong opinion from that again. But it's like anything else, you know. As long as there's no active aggression, I don't care. If somebody wants to, you know, march into a senator's office and sit down in his chair while he's not there, and barricade the door and whatnot, that's okay with me, because the senator started the fight.
I have a cousin that was there, and she said that when things got a little crazy later on, they left. So I wonder how many people had that kind of story. She lives in North Carolina and made the trip. I was
Okay.
traveling through Virginia the day before, and I saw lots of, there was no Trump trains, but there were individual Trump supporters driving by with flags or signs. It was funny. As I was
Okay.
driving from Tennessee to Virginia and stuff like that. It's they're acting like the world has ended in some ways. But yes, I am trying to think of how, like with the secession movement, not letting our ideas get stuck with whatever's just in the current topics. You know what I mean? Because it's we're not just seceding because Trump didn't lose. I mean, didn't win, right? We don't want to get trapped in that. It's bigger issues that take longer than that.
Yeah. And like I said, despite the fact that I get quite a few, it seems like I have see an uptick in traffic on nhexit.com, and there's a, I get messages on email sometimes, "Hey, Dave, how are we going to do this secession thing? We need to do something." That wasn't happening a year ago. That's starting to happen, but it's really the factors that create a secession aren't really in place right now. They would be in place if there's a sitting federal government that's way overusing its power in a wide range of areas, or are on some litmus, issue like guns. And Trump, as evil as he is, didn't exactly do that. He bothered a lot of immigrants, and I'm against that. But he didn't really do the things that trigger secessionism, right? So that will probably happen if the Democrats overplay their hand, which they're now likely to do because of the fact that they won too many seats, right? They have all they have the what the presidency, the House, and the Senate now. Is that correct?
I'm not sure.
I think they got the Senate because of, but I haven't, like I said, me and imperial politics don't pay much attention to each other, but I think they may have all three of these branches, or
Okay,
not
yeah.
branches, but branches is not the right word, but those three institutions may be under Democrat control. And
Yeah.
Democrats are in a state of frenzy these days. They're so furious about Trump that they're gonna overplay their hand in a way that Bill Clinton didn't, right, when he had all three institutions.
Yeah, did
And
they, was that ever true with Obama or no?
I don't think they ever had all three, but I'm not sure.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. But yeah, they're going to overplay their hands, so much of the energy, much of the oppositional energy, is going to pour into the secession movement, probably. And again, unless I'm wrong, unless I'm wrong about the Senate, maybe they, if they didn't catch the Senate, then that could play out differently. But
So that's all possible. So
yeah.
we might be adding to our roles by disgruntled Trump people or something if that happens.
I mean, I would prefer to, get independence activists from all sides, but we'll take them where we can get them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it'll be. That's funny. So what's I had fun being in New Hampshire last week, so we did that session. I was there on the 7th on the State House steps with the guys that were disgruntled with Sununu and his private inauguration,
Oh,
since
okay.
that's what we were doing. Did you see any of the pictures from the New Hampshire State House guys going into like being sworn in or something like that, and they're in a parking lot.
I
So
saw some. I saw some images from John Burt,
I know.
one of the liberty
Yes,
leaning state reps.
I need to contact him and see if he wants to be on and tell us what they're up to and stuff. Because this stuff, it looks comical. These guys are outside in the cold in January in New Hampshire. You're like, what are we doing? We have this big fancy building. Why aren't we meeting in the big fancy building?
Well, there was
Okay.
another one where they met. I guess they met outside, and they were not in their cars. They were just sitting on chairs outside in the freezing weather. And all these geriatrics. How many of them are going to catch pneumonia from it? How about this guy that they say died from COVID? Maybe he died from being in the cold.
Being chilled. I mean, what happens if there's any foul weather? This is the way you do things? It's like just shows the insanity of these government institutions that this is your solution to something.
Yep.
is, I mean, this is their stuff. So you're back from vacation and you'll be cranking up Ridley-O's now.
Yeah, more Ridley O's at the end of the month. I was on vacation in Colorado for Christmas. I got back a few days ago, and yeah, traveling is no fun anymore. But we want to be looking for things we can, how could we make traveling better if we were an independent country, right? I mean, how would traveling to New York be better if we were independent in New Hampshire? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if, I mean, at least we could be not causing problems on our end, but I don't know how that'd be any better, right? Just like if you want to fly to Europe right now, you have to deal with whatever problems.
Yeah,
Hey,
well, at
one
least
thing we
people could get on planes in New Hampshire without being sexually molested.
Well, that'd be good, yeah, on one end of the scale. And then how many tourists would you get if you were the open country?
Yeah,
If people
yeah,
wanted to come to your
and
place.
think how fun and exciting it would be to be on, that list that they like. If you go to like international flights and stuff, a lot of times they'll have this list that says, "More, you know, the Islamic Republic of Mauritania is evil. They don't screen their passengers as brutally as we do, so they shouldn't be getting off of planes." And, it wouldn't
Yeah,
be
be
great to be on that list. I don't know if Mauritania was on the list, but there were some, these various countries that they say they don't have enough screening. Wouldn't it be great if we could be denounced all over the United States by this message that says New Hampshire doesn't have enough screening?
Yeah, they don't have enough security theater like we do.
Yeah. To me, it would be worth being independent just for that one benefit. But of course, there are many other benefits.
Yeah, that's funny. It possibly, because right now people are going to some places in the Caribbean because there's not as much lockdown stuff, or there's people from the Northeast that are going down to Florida and just staying. I know a family that was having lots of trouble being able to move around in Canada, and they're down in Florida. And
Good.
the relative freedom is quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I wish we could say the same here. New Hampshire's just been pretty middle of the road in terms of the level of lockdown, but I think part of that is because it's in such a cold area. It's such a cold climate compared to the rest of the states. I think if we were, warmer, I think that we would have done better at preventing some of the measures.
Yeah, well, and then that would be, we'll see what happens come summertime to see what kind
Yeah.
of stuff.
Well, I do have a little bit of exit related news if you don't have anything else. I'm trying to queue it up here. Let's see. So there was a gun thing that happened. There was a gun arrest in New Hampshire, and I'm trying to find the details. And when I keyword search it, it's not coming up. So I'm just going to go by memory here. But it's complex. It's ethically cloudy, ethically muddled. Normally, any gun arrest in New Hampshire by the federal government is a knee jerk. That's terrible, from me. But a gun arrest is usually a reminder why we need to be out of the union. But they arrested a cop on gun charges, and he was connected in some way to a gun store. He may have helped out at the gun store in some way.
And so, who did the arrest? Is this the ATF or
This was a
something?
fe this was a federal arrest. I don't know if it involved the ATF or not, but I guess those usually do. A federal gun arrest usually would involve the ATF. And it was, he allegedly made some guns he wasn't supposed to. He modified them in way, but he added this to it and he wasn't supposed to. He subtracted that to something else and wasn't supposed to. Who can keep track of any of that? And so it's completely inappropriate. But it gets more complicated because this was a cop they were coming after. And again, there's two people they came after. One of them was a cop, and the other is a Chinese national who runs, together they help run this gun store called Hitman Firearms. And the gun store itself is in Massachusetts, but one of the two men lives in New Hampshire. I believe the Tyngsborough cop, I believe, lives in Pelham. And the Chinese national lives in Massachusetts. The guy from China was apparently, according to the Union Leader article, was running a training camp for Chinese nationals to learn military skills. So in theory, that's all fine. But we would all feel a little bit better about it if that was a Taiwanese national who was doing that, right? He would be just as Chinese, but if it's a Chinese national from mainland China, it does raise some red flags. Is there something going on here? We are in a new Cold War right now. Is somebody training Chinese folks to hurt, New Hampshireites? I don't know. But the Union Leader article didn't really provide enough information to know. For all I know, this is a very innocent thing. Obviously, I know Chinese nationals who are free staters, or at least they used to be Chinese nationals from the mainland, and they're exactly the people you want to have firearms and run military style training camps. That would be perfect. However, I don't know anything about this particular Chinese national. I do know that I don't know anything else about him, I guess I should say, but there is the other reason why this would raise eyebrows a little bit is that Chinese nationals, there's a new law in China that requires Chinese nationals abroad to provide intelligence information on the United States if they're in the United States. So they're essentially, they've tried to turn all of their people into spies by law. And so it really it creates a dicey situation for those of us who are, I'm pro-China, but I'm anti-Chinese Communist Party. I'm pro-Chinese nationals, but I'm anti-Chinese nationals, doing spying for Beijing on the United States or New Hampshire. So it's just this really ethically muddled thing, but it's still exit related because it, well, how would New Hampshire handle something like this if it wasn't left up to the feds, maybe New Hampshire would say, they would at least tell us what's going on with this training camp and why is it a source of concern or not? And maybe they would not arrest people just for making the wrong kind of gun.
So
Because
I'm
this is
finding
going
that.
to, if you think about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I'm finding the articles about this. So the guy from Pelham, New Hampshire, is Daniel Whitman, and he's 36. And then the Chinese guy is Bin Liu. It's his BIN, and his last name is LIU. And he's down in, and they're going to federal court in Boston. So
Okay.
yeah, it'd be easy to find articles, with the names after that, stuff like that.
And by the way, I think I was wrong before. I think it was actually a Boston Herald article. It was a mix of, I got my information from the Boston Herald and the Union Leader, and I got
Yeah,
confused as
there'll
to where
be.
each piece of
Well,
information came
especially
from.
if it keeps going and they keep going to court and stuff like that, this will keep being in the news over
Well,
and over
the
again.
thing to keep in mind is that the federals are doing something to this Chinese national that they should not be doing, right? If there's something to be done to this person, it shouldn't be, arresting him because he made a firearm too short or too long or whatever. That there's nothing wrong with doing that, right? If he's doing something nefarious, aimed against the people of this country, then get him for that, right? But don't bother him for how long he made his shotgun or whatever, because that is something that will create a grievance inside mainland China, a legitimate grievance against the United States. Any
Yeah, that's
family member of this guy would be within their rights to be angry at the United States government for arresting their loved one. Because again, they just arrested him for having the wrong kind of gun. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, not for killing anybody. Yeah. I mean, just read that article that I was just looking at. There's nothing exciting in there. It's they've made short rifles, and they might have been opening up a shooting place or something like that. Well, why should any of that be illegal? They haven't actually
Yeah,
done anything.
the other thing that they arrested the other thing was well, the reason they brought up the so-called training camp, again, training camp, what does that mean? Somebody has a driveway and you can drive up into it and someone will show you how to load your Glock. I mean, is that a
Yeah, you
training
never
camp? I
know.
don't know. I don't you know how the media is. They could be exaggerating, but there, I didn't know this, but there's a law that says you're not allowed to show foreigners how to do firearms or something like that. A federal law. I mean, it may be more detailed than that. Maybe you have to do more than just show them how to use a firearm. But there's this law that apparently they allegedly broke when they trained Chinese nationals how to do something, right? Probably firearms shooting.
What's
And
also funny is why does they always refer to these guys as Chinese nationals? Why can't they be dreamers? Why can't they be
yeah,
immigrants?
good point.
I
Yeah,
mean, it's just a funny way of phrasing it. It's like a
it's not
Chinese
a
national.
right. But anyway, that's another grievance. Like, if I were living in Shenzhen or something, and I was a relative of this Chinese national who was arrested by the feds here in the United States, I'd be wanting to know what they arrested him for. They arrested him for showing so they were showing someone who looks like me how to fire a gun. That's a casus belli for that family. They would be within their rights to have a feud with the United States over again. The treat again, if that's all, I mean, well, it is. I mean, this is what they arrested the person for. If he's done something else, then that's what he should be arrested for. If it's something evil or aggressive, act of aggression type thing. But again,
Yeah,
no, they all
they're not.
these alleged crimes are perfectly harmless things. And absolutely a person. If I want to train a Chinese national how to shoot, I should be able to do that. That's my decision.
Hey, and he might identify as a patriotic American. You never
He
know.
absolutely might. He might be,
Don't
just like
ask.
you and me in the way he thinks. And he might be very opposed to the Chinese Communist Party for all we know. And so that person has, and until proven otherwise, has the right to do those things. But know that we've got to have, over 200,000 pages of things we're not allowed to do, a list over 200,000 pages long, possibly more like 2 million of things we're not allowed to do in the United States.
Yeah, that they can choose to enforce whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this kind of stuff, it seems so random from the outside, but
Yeah.
this is what started this. Just kind of, okay, that doesn't make any sense, or
I mean,
and who knows what
this is
it'll
sort of,
come to.
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, who knows how this will end? It could end up with nothing.
Well, see, this was the whole casus belli for the Japanese government, or at least it was part of their excuse for waging war on the United States in the 40s, was that the U.S. was mistreating their immigrants, right? Part of it was official and part of it was not official. And you were just mistreated if you were a Japanese American, right? And that hasn't happened to a huge extent against Chinese in America yet, but it's coming, right? Because something, the Beijing government's going to do something else, that angers everybody, and people are going to start taking it out on Chinese individuals, right? And that's going to create additional anger at the United States inside China, and it just we could do so much better, right? If we treated the world the way Switzerland treats it, right? I've become something, of a student of of Swiss relations with Germany in the 1940s. And there was this intricate dance that they did, right, with the Luftwaffe and the SS and everyone that they had to deal with that was right there on their doorstep. And it was just everything was carefully handled, right? And it's so interesting to see the Nazis, you know, as brutal as they were, when they were interacting with the Swiss, they just kept getting nicer, right? They would do things like, we want to kill you, but okay, why don't we give you some BF-109s and you give us back that plane you shot down and we'll call it even, right? You know, okay, we had this big air battle, it lasted for 5 minutes, and you shot down more of our planes than we did, and we're really angry, and we're gonna invade, but no, we're not gonna, because we're gonna do this. Oh, we can't, because the Swiss are actually trading with us. And so that all, Hitler, despite all his fury and being right there on their doorstep and having the means to do it, he never quite got around to invading them, because there was always, those Swiss were always reasonable. They would not do things to the Nazis that gave them any legitimate grievances, right?
Yeah, and that does seem like that could be our situation.
We could hope, but I tell you what, they did have one battle. Like I said, there was a fairly large air battle between the Luftwaffe and the Swiss Air Force, and the Swiss Air Force won it.
Do you think it was influenced by it's so much easier to defend territory?
It's not much easier to defend one type of air from a different type of air,
Yeah,
right? I mean,
well,
the air
but
is just air. There's no strong point above Switzerland or above Germany.
yeah, so you don't think that was a factor?
No, the Swiss anti-aircraft was almost useless. All they had was their air force for fighting in the air. They couldn't shoot at anything from the ground, so there was no strong point. And it was just the Swiss. I think it's just the higher level of motivation that you have when you have a when you know you've got right on your side.
Yeah, so you're saying that we're going to have to turn all the shopping centers that face Massachusetts at the border, we're going to have to put anti-aircraft installations there in the Best Buy parking lots.
That's what some people seem to think when you talk about independence.
I could see, that might be the next step.
But so much of it's just a question mark. You know, all we have to go on is, well, what did we see in history? You know, what, how did this work here? How did that work there? We don't know how it would work in New Hampshire. We don't know what's going to happen over the next few years. But, you know, historically, independence drives can go from 0 to 60 in a year or two.
I know I
And
was
usually it's because of the central government doing something crazy.
yeah, there's got to be something that okay, yeah, we've got to do something. Yeah, I've been trying to look up the last countries that have split and what happened and things like that, and trying to put those together and things like that. It's kind of interesting. So I was trying to make plans for us to have a booth at the Liberty Forum in New Hampshire, but that's not happening. So I'm trying to start making plans for what we will do at Porkfest, which is from June 28th till the 4th of July. So I am working on where I'm going to be staying and what kind of presence we can set up there.
Are you going to be able to go to both Pork Fest and Fork Fest?
Well, when I was asking people when Fork Fest is happening, they were saying it doesn't really matter and we don't know. And I was saying, okay, well, I'm declaring that Fork Fest is running concurrent with Pork Fest, so that'll make it easier for me.
Okay. Well, if you go to reallyreport.com, and look at the videos there. If you just type in forkfest.party, that will bring you up some of the ForkFest ads. Or if you just go to forkfest.party, that will have the dates.
Okay, let's see what they say here. I'm going to forkfest.party.
So you're probably gonna like Fork Fest quite a bit more, quite a
Oh,
bit more than Pork Fest.
well, they are saying Fork Fest is June 28th to the 4th, so it is running
Oh.
concurrent.
Oh, okay, all right.
So yes,
Because
I will be there.
you will find, being the Russell Canning that you are, that you like you know how it is with the sort of the what's the right word for it? The family friendly wing of the Free State Project that is kind of always losing their mind over, someone with a megaphone that used a cuss word, or they're losing their mind over someone who's they're not doing the politics the way they think they should. You know what happened to you when you were doing all those civil disobedience and you were having fun and you were interesting. The people in the sort of stodgy wing of the Free State Project lost their minds.
Well, and see, what's funny is in some ways I'm part of the stodgy wing, but then in other ways I'm considered radical. So
Right.
So I'm planning on going. I'm going to figure out if I can get one of those cabins or rent one of those places, and that would be our home base. Otherwise,
Yeah.
Dennis Pratt is saying he's trying to have little villages there, and our village could be secession.
Oh,
So.
neat.
Yeah, so that's what I'm planning on right now. So I have to hear. I haven't heard back from Rogers.
That's a great idea, like a little secession village, and you could have all this propaganda oriented toward that. It would be fun, yeah.
And then, because also, at Porkfest, you have to. That way, you can find. Oh, you want to talk about that? Well, then go over that to over to that place. And then we'll always have people.
Kind of like
So.
impromptu theme parks.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like that. Or the other thing I always picture is, have you ever been to, like cute little places where they have representatives from different countries? And then they have a little shack for each country, like at those World's Fair kind of places. They used to do that kind of stuff. They had a cool thing at the place in San Diego at that huge park in Balboa Park. And on Sundays, all these little shacks are open representing different countries. So you can go in there and taste their food and look at their costumes and stuff like that. It was loads of fun. And then we'll just start with that kind of stuff. So that's the plans I have for that kind of thing. So people can start making plans if they can join us. So yeah, so that's the 28th of June. So, yeah, because I was thinking I would do Fork Fest, then bleed over to Pork Fest a little bit, but it looks like it's concurrent. So,
Okay.
and part of the reason I'm doing NH Exit is nobody can tell me I'm being too radical. We are the radical guys.
Oh, no one in ed, no one, no one in NH Exit will tell you you're too radical.
yeah. There's no board of directors that can say we're being too crazy. If you don't like it, start your own secession movement.
Well, I really like how you've got nhexit.org and I've got nhexit.com. We don't try to put the same content on them. We just kind of are there, and neither of us considers the other to be competition because, really, it's just an idea, right? It's just New Hampshire should not be part of the United States, and just kind of like the idea of freedom, right? The idea of libertarianism that you shouldn't commit acts of aggression. Nothing else needs to really be added to that, right? It's just that's the point. That's the part that matters. You figure out the details. We can, as long as we agree on that one thing, the rest will fall into place.
Yeah, that. Yeah, and I look at NH Exit as like the big tent of secession stuff, right? And people might have different ideas about the details, but yeah, we can be the. So lately, I've been listening to a lot of voluntarist stuff, and talking myself into how we need to. I'm going to be pushing for the solution of voluntary, nonviolent New Hampshire on the other side. And some of our people might be thinking of how they want to do things with violence and with guns and with armies, but I will be pushing nonviolence as their defense. So
Yeah, and it, you
I've been
know, it
fighting.
seems to have worked out pretty well for Costa Rica, right? You know, they're in a rough neighborhood, but they don't even have an army. And then they had Reagan running around down there, you know, shooting up commies, and they had the communist, you know, influenced government in Nicaragua, and all that stuff was going on, and they got through it just fine, right? So it seems possible that we should be able to do something along those same lines, without an army. I don't favor the existence of a government army, but I think it's not bad to have, you know, the option of self-defense. And that would need to come probably through, you know, the elimination of all gun laws, the elimination of heavy weapon laws, the elimination of drone laws, to make sure that the average person can, if they wish, form a small army.
So far, you know, I'm trying to get some different people that I can interview. I have a couple more set up this week, but I have to keep pushing them. I have not yet had anybody on our podcast saying that we shouldn't secede. So if you run into somebody that thinks we're crazy and we shouldn't secede, I'm wanting to talk to them.
Well, I
But none
guess
of those people have been on yet.
Paul Mirsky is already kind of engaged with us, isn't he?
Yes, but he hasn't gotten back to me about being on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, he probably wants to. Oh,
Just
if I talk to him, that might just give him more attention.
well, that would be good. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll have to, as we push a little bit more, we will get some more pushback. So then that'll bring up, you know, more issues and
Yeah.
bring it to the fore a little bit more all the time.
Right.
Because I
Well,
feel like
let's.
there's with this not very happy transition of power or insanity about this election, there's a lot of people that are wondering what they should do.
Yeah.
And I want to give them nonviolent steps they can take instead of just clutching their gun and wondering when they need to use it or voting harder or things. You know, there's things that everybody can do. A little bit less cooperation with evil. A little bit more cooperation with the good guys. You know, there's little steps each one of us can take. So we have to, you know, we just have to keep thinking of those and promoting those.
Well,
So
a
give people something to do.
little bit more getting video.
Yes. Well, and then when I come there next time, we'll have to do some man on the street stuff together. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
As soon as it's not really cold
Yeah.
to talk to people on the streets, you know, and then you could, if we're wandering the streets, we might see random outside New Hampshire State House sessions, you know, that are happening in parking lots, so we can just talk to them in the parking lot.
Oh yeah, if you want to drive me to one of those, I can get a lot of Rodeos.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, I don't own a vehicle. That's one of the reasons I shoot as little video as I
Yeah.
do. But I'm still, you know, cranking out 10 or 12 videos a month. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's the next time I come here, that's what we'll do. We'll go find some stuff like that to do. And I feel like any talk of secession is so not what the system wants. If I can do something nonviolent that makes them uncomfortable, I'm just going to keep pushing that button.
Yeah. I mean, again, it has to be something that is non-aggressive, but yeah, that is very much non-aggressive.
Yeah, just talking about it is something they don't want. So that seems like I might as well start with
Or
that.
I guess I should clarify, not an act of aggression. That's the right move. Yeah. None of us here are against aggressive investing.
Yes. Well, can you think of something else that we didn't cover?
There was something else that happened in an exit-related piece of
Okay.
news. Okay, Jerry DeLamis, do you remember him?
No.
Okay, so he is sort of the poster child for why New Hampshire needs to be out of the Union. He is New Hampshire's probably most prominent political prisoner.
How do you spell that?
DE. L E,
L-E-M-U-S?
I think so, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm finding a bunch of articles about that. Yeah.
Though, so he was part of the Bundy Ranch standoff around 2014.
Okay.
But he was arrested for like not doing much of anything, right? He showed up, he was wearing some camos, and he was accused of being a quote unquote mid-level leader.
And that's
And
enough, huh?
that's, I mean, I can't even name the charges, and they were so vague. They gave him like 6 years, and they gave him extra years for trying to change his plea.
Whoa.
So he tried to recant his guilty plea, which he, you know how they get those guilty pleas out of you.
Yeah.
They lock you up, they'll isolate you, threaten your family, and then and they allegedly did do that with DeLamis. And so he gave in, and then he realized what he'd done, right? So anyway, so he's serving time in, foreign countries, as far as I'm concerned, states that are not New Hampshire. He wasn't even really, I don't think he wasn't really part of the standoff even. I mean, I may be exaggerating when I even say that. I think he may have arrived after the standoff had ended. So it's complicated and everything, but basically there's a lot of people that are angry about him being in jail. And the fact that he was arrested by the feds is, like the most obvious grievance that New Hampshireites have against the federal government currently. Anyway, so that's the background. He's still in jail, I think, and apparently this week his aunt was gunned down by police.
Where was this?
California, I think. She was 91.
Yes. Crazy. And then this happened in and this happened in San Bernardino County in California. Crazy.
So she's apparently legally blind and legally deaf, and they filled her full of holes, apparently.
Crazy.
My recollection of the article was that she had called the police and that she was in possession of a shotgun, allegedly, when the police arrived. But of course, the police will always tell you it wasn't their fault, and they'll always tell you, if they can, that the person was pointing a gun at them or something. So.
And this happened in Spring Valley Lake, California. I used to live in the town next to that.
Okay.
I used to live in Hesperia and Victorville, California. Spring Valley Lake is a kind of a retirement community. This is outside of LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of stuff would normally be happening in Spring Valley Lake. Crazy.
Apparently, they were not just aunt and nephew, they were very close.
Ah, interesting. I wonder what all this means.
I think it just means that, if you just follow any random person, they're going to have some kind of problem that comes to them as a result of the police state. Now, obviously, independence wouldn't have saved her unless she'd lived here, but
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
his status makes it exit news.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we'll have to post that on the various social media and then see what other people have to say about that, and we can keep discussing that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it for us this time. And then we'll have some more. We'll have some updates here coming up.
Yeah.
And I'll talk with some of the guys about what we talked about in New Hampshire and that kind of stuff. So that'll be fun. And it'll be interesting what all people are popping up with secession ideas. We're definitely having
Right.
more people talking to us about it. So that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think I'll wrap this one up. And I actually know that this is episode 7. Every other time when I push the button, I forget what number we're on. So this is our 7th one, and we'll just keep going.
Okay, I'll see you on the next one.
Okay, talk to you later, Dave.
Thanks, Russell.
Bye.
Bye.